The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
Here come the McElroys. We've got jokes and bits. We're gonna give advice and do funny skits. Laughter, it is in store. Come inside and see. It's time to start. It's my brother and me.
Travi, I don't know that I have questions.
I had emailed them to Christina, but I can email them again.
Oh, it's just in the same. I'm sorry.
No, that's
it,
a, no,
it,
no,
it
no.
Probably didn't have ads in it, right?
No.
Okay. You can say you could have just saved a little time and just say I fucked up.
Well, I fucked up.
Okay.
And I didn't anticipate your incompetence, and that was my fault.
No, no, no. It's not my incompetence because you didn't.
No, you definitely fucked this up.
Yeah. No, yeah, I fucked up because I forgot that both of you don't know how to search in your email. That's fine.
No, no, the ads aren't, you didn't put the ads in, so you did
fuck
up.
Oh, right. I fucked up by not spoon-feeding you the ads. Like
I'm glad we decided to start doing these cold opens.
What?
I feel like it lends a real air of excitement and intimacy to the program. Mm-hmm. Hello, everybody, and welcome to My Brother and Me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis McElroy, and I'm a dog.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and I'm the youngest brother.
I have the intro. That's what Travis is
no,
last
that,
to
can
us.
Can I tell you? That was a completely separate thing.
Yeah.
I simply am a dog.
That's consistency, Justin, and we got to respect that.
Okay. Completely different thing.
And normally my kind of bit there goes a little bit longer, but it's because I have an important presentation for you guys, and I appreciate you taking this time to hear said presentation.
Out of our hands.
Travis, I need to sync up into the Google Buzz meeting room that you've set up here. And okay. Well, hold on. I got to download a flash update in order to see these slides. Hold on.
Okay. I didn't do slides. Was I supposed to do slides?
Oh, then what am I down? Oh, virus.
So here's the thing. I think I'll leave a space here for you guys to answer. What is so hot right now?
Breakfast. Fast food breakfasts. Everybody's wanting in on that game.
That's right. Cryptocurrency.
Oh.
And
oh,
so shoot. I have been thinking that now here at the very start of the very idea of cryptocurrency, that the McElroys should get in on the ground floor. And that is why I have created McElbucks.
McElbucks?
Yeah.
Finally.
How much is it, Trav?
Well,
just give me a number. Don't
Griffin,
bullshit me.
This, let me tell you, that is point one of 2 points that separate McElbucks from all other cryptocurrency. Mm. One, McElbucks will always equal $1. So it'll be one McElbuck to $1 all the time. It will not change. And two, it is paper currency.
Oh, so it's just like you could just call them bucks then.
They are McElbucks.
Do they look different?
They look slightly different.
How slight? Because there's
I have taped our pictures onto dollar bills.
That is noticeable enough. I feel like we're not gonna get dinged.
No, it's different. And they are I should take that back. They're worth $1.01 because of the paper that I have taped onto there. So each McElbuck, if you can trade one regular dollar with a McElbuck with a friend, you have made a penny.
Okay.
Basically.
I think you've actually lost a penny in that exchange.
Someone has.
Someone has.
I think we can agree on that.
A penny has been abandoned.
Trav, I'm looking at there's a Udemy course. $12.99 to learn how to make your own cryptocurrency just like Bitcoin is what it says. Actually, it says right here, create your own cryptocurrency just like Bitcoin. So is $12.99 going to be a sunk cost into this? And does that need to be amortized into the cryptocurrency, the $12.99 I'm going to need to spend, to say nothing of the time? I mean,
right.
Obviously.
Are you just talking about like funding McElbucks?
I'm saying there's a sunk cost. well, in yeah. MacBooks of $12.99.
I had to Xerox all the pictures of us. Like, it wasn't free. I had to go down to Kinko's.
Yeah, Trav, I'm afraid you've forgotten one important facet of cryptocurrency, and that is the blockchain. And what the blockchain is math puzzles that computers work on, and that gets you money. So for this, and but listen, we don't got to toss all this out. I'll tell you why. Because I'm going to write down a math problem right now.
Okay.
On a scrap of paper. Okay. And then once there's enough MacBooks out there, maybe we can solve this bad boy.
Can I just say, this is kind of getting away from me a little bit, and I was wondering if it would be okay if I just muted real quick, and I called my friend. I don't want to say his name, so let's just call him Melon Usk.
Yeah.
Let me call Melon.
Yeah, the only...
Griffin, I'm just going to mute.
You're not calling the person whose name it sounds like that, and is... has some hugely, hugely terrible ideas about life and existence.
No, fuck that guy. Second... I'm calling Melon...
Right. It's a different guy.
Hold on. I'm muted now.
Melon Tusk is kind of...
Yeah.
Is that... I mean...
Hey, Jeff Bezos? Yeah, it's Travis. I tried the cryptocurrency thing. I told them I taped our faces on the dollars and they weren't... what's that? I mean, I can try. Okay, let me... Try.
This wait, if he's getting advice like money advice from Bezos, this might actually be good, Justin.
Yeah, unmute. Really...
If you don't buy into this, I'll kill you.
Okay, that's nothing.
Not
Trev. I love the idea. The problem is you're not thinking big enough.
Okay,
a million MacBooks isn't cool. You know what's cool? Well, it's not a billion MacBooks. That's not cool either.
Okay,
there's not an amount of MacBooks that's cool.
Well,
a trillion.
That's
still not.
Well,
no,
okay, no, picture it, Justin.
Yeah.
You have a trillion MacBooks? That's not cool? A trillion of anything?
It's cool. That's going to be a storage issue at that point. Where am I putting this stuff?
Oh, they're very small.
Okay, that wasn't clear.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
So people have to get their own wallets.
I've cut dollar bills into tiny strips, and each one is a MacBook.
Oh, we're hitting them in fortune cookies. That's great, Trav.
Yeah. It's like confetti that was money.
Maybe there's just one MacBook, and that's what makes it so valuable.
Yeah, but I don't want to have to keep track of how much it's worth at any given time. That seems like a lot of work for me.
That's true.
That's when did this show get so corporate?
Oh, when we started doing ads, probably.
Yeah. So. This is an advice show, and what we do is we help you to build your wealth. That's the number one thing.
That's our thing.
Our thing is to help you get that dream of living on the beach and just raking in the dividends and help you build your wealth by following.
Can I give a piece of advice? If you can figure out time travel, and that's going to be a big hurdle here.
Big one. Huge
but
one.
Go back and buy Bitcoin when everybody was like, ha ha ha, Bitcoin, how stupid.
That's very good.
And then
that's
sell it before everybody was like, ha ha ha, Bitcoin, how stupid again. So if you can figure out how to split that upright, you're rich.
Or go into the future when Bitcoin crashes and buy it then and bring it back to now and sell it. That's another
option.
Or
if you can know what's going to happen, you could just, I don't know if you can put out like a put order on a cryptocurrency.
It's me. Stocks, but... It's me, Travis, from the future. MacBooks is going to be huge. Everybody buy into MacBooks now.
Now, wait, maybe this is what Jeff actually told him to do.
Don't miss your chance buying the MacBooks now before it's too late.
Because that's squids. What Bezos did.
The squids.
That's not what I expected.
I think it's effective, yeah. Well, I mean, that's why he got to be where he is with that kind of lateral thinking.
This is an advice show. Oh, my God. It's an advice show. We help people. I'd love to have one episode in the past 5 years where I didn't have to say that line defensively. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Almost like Uncle, let me up. Like that kind of vibe every time I'm like, this is an advice show, I promise. Why is this happening? It's advice.
I mean, we're doing our best.
I'm not.
Are we?
No, I guess not.
Yeah. So this is an advice show. I'd like to help a lot of people today.
Ooh.
I feel like we haven't helped. Yeah, I know. I feel like we haven't been particularly helpful lately. The votes are in. The votes are in. not helpful, say the iTunes reviews. So I'd like to be a little bit more helpful. So I've got some questions here, and we're going to get right down to them. I've been talking to this girl for a little over a year.
Ooh la la.
That's a long time to be talking to someone, I feel like.
Uh-oh, folks. It looks like we got Romeo. A little over a month ago, we got into an argument that ended with "don't call me" and her hanging up. I tried to text her a couple times and haven't received any response. So I'm assuming we're done.
Yeah,
my problem is my drill is at her house and I'd really like it back. How soon is too soon to call her for my drill back without her assuming I'm using it as a way to reach out to her? That's from Sick of Screwing Around in Charlotte.
Don't call me. I won't, but I do need to call you. Ooh, but I do. Oh, if I could just get my DeWalt back.
Well, you know this situation better than we do, but like Doctor Strange, I do not see that many scenarios where this pans out good for you. In most of those scenarios, the drill's gone, and you need to be okay with that.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about sunk cost.
Yeah,
I want to help you build your wealth, and here's how we're going to start your portfolio. -1 drill.
Yeah.
Yep. That is the beginning of your portfolio. And let's build from there.
Do you have anything of hers that you could organize a neutral party swapsies situation?
Yeah, maybe on a long bridge.
Yeah. They send out their representative. You send out your representative.
Yeah.
Each representative is walking halfway there and back.
Maybe it's time to upgrade. Maybe the universe wants you to upgrade your drill.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe treat yourself to a nice Milwaukee or a nice Makita.
No, DeWalt's the way to go. DeWalt. You gotta go DeWalt, baby.
I'm already sunk so deep into the battery system for Milwaukee. I don't have a choice in cordless tool.
You lost the battery too, Justin. Do you think that question asker took over a batteryless drill?
That was one of the worst.
It got away from me. Yeah.
If you don't have two batteries, you don't own a drill.
But now they have a battery.
Nobody says, I want a drill later. You know what I mean? Nobody's ever thought, later I hope to do some drilling. Uh-huh. I better charge it.
I want to drill now and then not drill for an hour while it recharges and then start drilling again.
That is a good way to get out of, like, to excuse yourself from a job you gave yourself, though. It's like, oh, I was going to put together this cabinet, but
who doesn't want to get some drilling done?
I would love to.
I mean, sometimes you're tired, you know, sometimes you have a headache.
Never too tired to drill. The drill's gone. Go buy a new drill. I'm so sorry. It's expensive. That's good.
What if it was like their grandpappy's drill?
It's not.
I mean, if it's your fucking grandpappy's drill, you need to dump that garbage because drill technology has come a long way since your grandpappy's time.
This is a hand crank, like, drill that grandpappy used to cross the plains. It's been in our family for 2,000 years.
He burrowed through the plains.
Yeah.
He
dug the train holes with this.
Yeah, that may be true, Trav, but now it is in her family for a couple weeks. And that's just another chapter in its incredible story.
Yeah.
No one saw this coming, but the drill is gone.
I think for me, if that happened to me, the greatest fart in the face would be that if I had left like a drill bit in there that was part of a set, worse than anything, because then it's like, am I going to buy a whole new set just to replace the quarter inch bit, or am I going to try to find just a quarter inch bit that matches that set and fits in the same? Ugh, don't even get me started.
Nightmare scenario. Have we ostracized, do you think that was the question we ostracized the rest of our listeners with?
Yeah, we hit it with cryptocurrency and then business. And
why are people ostracized?
I just don't know that there's a big market for people who listen to our shows who are like mega into hardware.
Griffin, you have no concept of the restraint that I just brought to that question. I find it so disheartening that you think that was me chatting about tools. Like,
you could go so much.
I brought a light dusting of expertise.
Justin, right. I'll make you a deal. You can have 2 minutes unfettered. If I can have 2 minutes to talk about my new favorite show, Forged in Fire.
No, I don't want either of these.
Fucking do that.
I'm responsible. You know what I mean?
I'm not.
To know and have the passion for tools that I do and not bring it to me to a show like this after 10 years of doing it.
Yeah.
When I think I've earned it, you know what I mean? In the words of Chris Fleming, that's grace. That's poise.
I mean, Justin, the only thing that eclipses Justin's love for Tools is his love for the band Tool. That's the right. only thing greater. Mm-hmm.
And my passion for the fabric Tool.
That's true. Yeah.
Can I read
and
Yahoo?
Cookies called Twiddles.
Yeah.
And a pair of the letter L.
Uh-huh.
So
yes, Tools.
Oh God. Oh, we just got canceled.
Oh, we got canceled cool. for a podcast?
Yeah, just that's right there. Right? It came through the wire.
This one's sent in by the wizard Ben Kant. Thank you, Ben. It's Yahoo Answers. They're anonymous Yahoo Answers user. So I'll call him Patrick with a G at the end. Mm. So yeah, it's a hot new name. Patrick asks, I don't like my dad's song. Mm. So I recently started playing guitar and I've shared the few I've learned with my parents. I'm in college and still live with them. So my dad had the idea to write lyrics and for me to play. I thought he was joking at first, but we just now spent an hour dragging through his very depressing song. Ugh. I don't like it, but I don't want to hurt his feelings. What should I do?
I've written lyrics. The song is called My Disappointing Son.
there's a very well thought out, I would say heartfelt answer that is the only answer that has been left on this Yahoo Answers question. But the first two words of this answer are, they very much sum up how I'm feeling about it. And it's just tough one.
it is. That should have been the name of this podcast.
Yep.
Ugh, tough one.
Tough one. I think it is a parent's greatest wish is to be eclipsed by their child. That's not my thing. But I think that if you come back and say, Dad, a few notes on this song you've written and you've changed every lyric and it's better, but you still make him feel like he's part of it, that's really all he's looking for.
It's huge. Huge for dads.
What do you think this depressing song's about?
I mean, it could be about anything, you know, with dads.
You know how dads are.
You know how dads get sometimes.
You know how dads get. I have a solution to this.
Oh?
You say to your dad, I love this track. And the thing is, we got to get it out live. We got to get it out there. Mm-hmm. And so you go with your dad and you get him on guitar, lead vocals. And this part is important. You're on drums. So you get upstairs and the announcer guy's like, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage.
Wait, what announcer?
Somebody's announcing your show about to start.
That you're in your house.
Where did you do the show? Stream. I just said you got to play it out live. Please try to keep
up. But you said they go upstairs, and it made it sound like they went up to the bedroom.
The green room was downstairs, Travis.
You said they go upstairs.
It's a second floor stage, Travis. Shut up.
Why would I didn't say that.
You said
upstairs.
You
said go upstairs.
Then go upstairs.
Rachel, please play back whatever I played and we'll move forward.
Okay.
And this part is important. You're on drums. So you get upstairs and no matter what just happened there, I think what we can all agree is they're on stage. Okay. And the announcer says, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage of the YMCA, Dad and him. And then you get up and you get out your sticks and you put on your shades and you're like, and you're picking up the pace. Your dad's looking back at you like, it's too fast. And you're like, sorry, Dad, this song's a banger.
And Steve Zahn's like, let's roll with it.
Let's go with it. I love it.
Snowy Sunday, thinking about the friends we lost. Like, I don't know. This is it. This is that sound.
Shook the war. But that is another
broken
option.
Promises and broken dreams.
And all the kids are like, whoa. Yeah.
I guess it sounds like your ex-wife really is a piece of work. You got me.
Everybody do the ex-wife.
It just said everybody already has kids. Take it from me.
Yikes.
I'm canceled. We had a short career, burnt out. Better to burn bright than to fade away. How about another question?
Okay.
I love this. I love this energy.
Yeah, me too. It's so helpful.
I have a question here.
You do?
Let's see. When the interrupted myself. I want to munch squad. I want to munch
squad. I'm not.
That wasn't. You didn't interrupt yourself, Justin. You possessed yourself.
Yeah. And also, I'm not. I don't know that I'm ready for the munch squad. The munch squad is a little post ads like foothold that I get while climbing.
We got other exciting stuff. We got exciting stuff for after the ads. So I want to get it out.
It would feel weird though if you were like in the middle of a fancy dinner party and they said, we're gonna have the main course out in a second, but first here's some brandy and cigars. And you're like, okay. You guys know those parties, right?
Sure.
This is a Munch Squad. It's a podcast within a podcast. Only slightly Munch Squad related because my Munch Squad is not related to this, but I did want to say it's wild that we didn't talk about the big game. I can't remember the last time a big game rolled around.
Oh, I just assumed they canceled it because it wouldn't be safe to like play sports and stuff in the current pandemic.
Yeah. How are they doing that? Because I haven't watched any football this season, but I just assumed they were Zooming it.
Well, what it is from 6 foot away, one of the, the defensemen will say, like, I tackled you. And the runner's oh, man, you got
me. Ooh, yeah, maybe they all have lances, like 6 foot lances. Yeah.
Nerf guns.
That's good, yeah.
Yeah. Paintball football would be amazing.
I have a few sort of juniors. I just want to hit y'all with it. The first is just the beginning of this story on QSR, which is one of my quick service restaurants, one of my main sources.
It's your fucking homepage.
It's basically my homepage. They have the headline is "How Wendy's Got People Talking About Breakfast in a Pandemic."
Huh.
Subhead: one of the biggest launches of 2020 was derailed by COVID-19, or was it?
I don't know, dude. You're writing the story.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do your work for you.
And I did want to say that handsome ass Carl Laredo is in this one. Everybody knows Carl Laredo, the CMO of Wendy's. It's a breakfast. He said was a competitive landscape that Carl Laredo, in classic Carl Laredo style, referred to as the world of frozen arches.
Oh boy!
It says here it's a not so veiled reference to McDonald's.
Just say fucking McDonald's, Carl. At that point.
Carl doesn't. And then it wouldn't be a Laredo-own. It would just be a regular burn if he didn't have a little spin on it. Okay. A little poetic.
You know how Carl is.
So they're wild out there. Taco Bell's got a new $5 build your own cravings box for the people.
Okay.
You take a boring burger bundle. You add a celebrity in the mix. You put it online, and you got the perfect recipe for eating someone else's favorites.
What?
Taco Bell wonders. Why not just eat like you?
A lot of people watching the fucking throne right now, huh?
A lot of people a run at the king.
Huh?
So wait.
No, not the king. That's confusing.
Yeah, is the statement here the accusation of like, you don't want to eat some famous person's favorite meal. You want to eat yours. And only with our help will you be able to do that.
That's exactly right. You're going to be able to, rewarding their most passionate fans first. The new Build Your Own Cravings box will be available exclusively to Taco Bell Rewards beta members on the Taco Bell app. As a beta member myself, I have to say, this is fair, and they got me. Stretching customers' dollars further than ever before, the Build Your Own Cravings box is the ultimate Taco Bell eating experience. So basically, you tell them what you want to put in this big box of garbage, and they're going to serve it up to you, right? No problem. And no questions asked and no judgment. Nikki Lawson, who's sort of like the Carl Laredo of Taco Bell,
right?
Says in honestly one of the most inscrutable quotes that we've had in this segment, and that is saying something. As we see it, there aren't a lot of choices out there when it comes to value.
Huh.
Forcing customers to play by others' rules?
Yeah.
But when your fans have different favorites on the menu, why not celebrate that?
Oh, God, I feel free for the first time.
The Taco Bell I'm proud to lead does it differently. The Taco Bell I'm proud to lead.
This is my Taco Bell.
This is my bell. Taco Bell I'm proud to lead does it differently. We put fans in the driver's seat and allow them to eat how they want to eat. Okay. Not how someone, irrespective of how famous they may be, tells them to.
Can I just say that that's a horrible kind of phrase to use? Because if I went to a NASCAR race and they put fans in the driver's seat, horrible things are going to happen. It's not going to be, it's going to be a bloody massacre. I want experienced eating professionals in the driver's seat. Thank you very much. Like your Travis Scott's, I think.
Travis Scott did the McDonald's meal. What's wild about that quote is that it's not rules. Travis Scott wasn't like, you got this new McDonald's meal and it's all about me and it's a weird burger and a flurry and a lot of fucking fries.
And just, that's a massive unconscionable amount of Sprite.
And those are the fucking rules.
That's it now.
And it's the only thing they sell. Taco Bell is a great part. They've got a digital and social campaign for this initiative that includes some of Taco Bell's most influential fans, including actor Noah Centineo, TikTok influencer Nava Rose, K-pop star CL, iconic drag queen Onyx Black, and BMXer Brad Sims. I wonder if all of them agreed on BMXer way back in the day. I can't imagine. But the celebrities aren't going to be sharing their own order.
Oh, okay.
They're going to be reminding consumers to never settle for someone else's taste buds.
Then I'm going to make my own fucking tacos at home.
This is the weird thing. Don't listen to the celebrities when they tell you what to eat at Taco Bell, but do listen to the celebrities when they tell you to eat at Taco Bell.
You have the opportunity.
Noah Centineo will walk you right up to the door and you'll turn around and thank him and he's gone.
Yeah.
You can do a passionate TikTok duet with Noah Centineo, by the way, which I plan on doing right away.
How many items do I get to put in this box? Is it like you get four items to put in the box, or is it however much
Griffin ground beef anything you can they stuff? Have it's whatever can it's fit by, in the box.
It's like a yogurt place, it's by weight.
Yeah. You can get a box full of loose hot sauce and that's it, and it still is $5. You could ask for the employees to put their wallets in the box and they have to do it because there are no fucking rules.
They have, you choose from one of like four different categories, basically.
Okay. Sounds like a rule to me.
Which is like a signature item, like the Chalupa Supreme. Rules. And then they have the charmingly named starters. And one of those starters is a beefy five-layer burrito. Like,
just a lose boosh.
I'm just feeling a bit peckish. I think I'll just have a fucking beefy five-layer burrito for the table, please.
I couldn't possibly eat six layers. I'll take the five-layer one, please.
Outrageous. Just five layers to begin. I do want to do that TikTok. Look for that on my TikTok, my duet with Noah.
Griffin, when are you going to get on that TikTok?
As soon as somebody tells me how it works.
real quick, before we head into the break real quickly, I did want to let everybody know that this is just kind of a public service announcement. The Shamrock Shake coming back February 15th.
Just in time for Valentine's Day.
I hear you saying, I don't give a shit. Well, that's not what McDonald's thinks. They're welcoming back not only the Shamrock Shake, but also the fan favorite, Oreo Shamrock McFlurry. I always like when restaurants call something a fan favorite because the alternative is they're bringing back something that no one seemed to enjoy, but it was cheap.
We're bringing back underdog Shamrock Shake.
We're giving you one more chance to enjoy.
We think
spicy
that this is an acquired taste, and one more time, please give it a try. We ordered so many of them. Please.
This is, if you learn to read between the lines in these things, they're actually pretty sinister. The Shamrock Shake features creamy vanilla soft serve blended with our unmistakable Shamrock Shake flavor and finished with a whipped topping for a minty treat. Now, there's a lot of things that they said in there. There's a lot of things they didn't say as well.
Correct.
As like, what is in this? Like, why is it like this?
Why is it?
It's minty. It's not mint, though, is it?
They explained the burning that you feel when you eat it. Because you can justify that. That must be that they're mint that they mention. But everything else is a puzzle box.
I know Chef Mike would not do a sturdy like
oh,
that.
Oh, no.
No.
But I got allergies, you know?
For more than 50 years. Like, it strains credulity at this point, some of these quotes from the marketing people. And this cat, Chad Schaefer, is the director of culinary. Senior director.
Oh, okay.
For more than 50 years, fans have eagerly awaited the annual return of the Shamrock Shake. Counting on the arrival of Shamrock Shake season to mark the unofficial start to spring.
Huh.
And we heard they especially enjoyed getting a taste of the one and only Shamrock flavor in a new way last year with the Oreo Shamrock McFlurry. We know this winter may feel longer than others. Wow. So we're had to do it. Mm-hmm. Had to get it in there. So we're thrilled to give customers something to look forward to by bringing both fan favorites back to the menu this month. So hang in there. The Shamrock Shake is coming.
I cannot wait for like the first hint of like now everything's like on the upswing. 51% of the population is vaccinated. Like, thing, you know, we're seeing daylight. Because at this point, I feel like quick service restaurants have run out of euphemisms for saying, like, I don't fucking know, man. Give them some new material about hope on the horizon and just watch them fly. Yeah, I cannot fucking wait.
They're going to sup on that forever.
You know, it's funny. You always see these announcements for, like, ding, 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 dinner bell's on, dipshits. Your favorite green shake is back in stock. They never have a press release that's like, funeral for a friend, saying goodbye. Once again, we know you've all looked forward to it and fucking clung to it to get through these cold winter months. But, it's March 18th, so this shit's going right in the dumpster. Come give it a lick if you want, if you miss it. Assholes, it's gone. Anyway, that's the Munch Squad. Let's take a break for some more positive commercialism in a segment we like to refer to as the Money Zone.
You know, when I was a young man, I was told quite often that I was something of an upstart. Upstart, they would say to me, you whippersnapper, they would say. But now, upstarts are having their day, aren't they? Because if you have multiple credit cards, you know that tracking multiple balances, due dates, and website logins can be stressful. Upstart makes things simple. With one monthly payment in one place.
What? Unlike the premise of this bit.
Right, like, why do you need to be British?
No, because
so many
I am not British. I'm just old.
Turn British when you get old.
I'm an old-timey man. I'm from a time before when we lost our British accents here in America. I'm so old that I still have
a vestigial
British accent.
How?
And a lot of credit cards.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. Like, a lot of older
when I was a whippersnapper, I signed up for a lot of credit cards to get the free things that they offered at baseball games.
Right, and how old are you?
I am 175.
Upstart is a fast and easy way that gets you a personal loan to pay off your debt all online. You can pay off credit cards or consolidating high-interest debt, whatever. Upstart is going to find smarter rates because they assess more than just your credit score. There's a five-minute online rate check. You can see your rate up front for loans from $1,000 to $50,000. So you can find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/mybrother. That's upstart.com/mybrother. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know that we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. That's upstart.com/mybrother.
Brooklinen sells very soft.
When I was a young man, people used to call me Brooklinen. Brooklinen, they'd say. Get
now
off my bed.
Now he's rolling his fucking R's, dude.
Get off my bed, Brooklinen. They'd say, Bean. They'd say, get off me bed, Brooklinen. I'd say, this is my bed. And they'd say, no, it is my bed. And then we'd fight in the street with pistols.
Yeah, but we don't do that anymore. We just chill in our beds with our comfy sheets and stuff that Brooklinen provides us. Because they got the really good stuff. I sleep on some I sleep on Brooklyn in sheets, and I sleep like an absolute baby. And whenever I used to travel, I didn't sleep in Brooklyn in sheets, and that made me sad. Sorry, I just realized that I've slept in my own bed every day for the last year, and it got me good. But they got a bunch of different colors and patterns and materials to fit your needs and your tastes, and they got comforters, pillows, and towels. And if you want to just feel like you have a sheet on you all fucking day, they got loungewear. So that's great. Go to brooklinen.com and use the promo code MYBROTHER, all one word, to get $25 off when you spend $100 or more. Plus, you get free shipping. That's brooklinen.com and enter promo code MYBROTHER, all one word, to get $25 off when you spend $100 or more, plus free shipping. brooklinen.com and use promo code MYBROTHER at checkout.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks.
These are real podcast listeners, not actors.
What do you look for in a podcast?
Reliability is big for me.
Power.
I'd say comfort.
What do you think of this?
Oh.
That's Jordan, Jesse, Go.
Jordan, Jesse, Go?
They came out of the floor?
And down from the ceiling?
That can't be safe.
I'm upset.
Can we go now?
Soon. Jordan, Jesse, Go. A real podcast.
Another question that I would like to shoot your way. This summer, I moved into a new home. Everything was good apart from each Friday when a loud ice cream van would park right outside my house at 8 p.m. and serve customers till late. However, it is now well into December and the van still shows up each week.
I mean, we're really getting to this question pretty late, huh?
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Well, we're well out of December, and music well after dark. No one is buying ice cream at night in winter, and at this point, I'm too nervous to go out and talk to the owner in case this is some front for illegal activity. How should I discover what they're up to, and do I even want to know? That's from John in Norwich, UK. I've got no idea.
I don't see us being capable of answering this, but I have very good news.
Yeah.
My friend Christina Ariel, who I recently did some game streaming with, she was telling me that there is a ice cream truck outside of her house all the time. So mm-hmm. I think we should call her and get her opinion on this. Let me ring her up on the phone real quick.
Too many numbers. You don't have to hit that many numbers.
Ring.
Are we hearing the bells of Christina's phone through the phone?
Oh, I put a microphone in Christina's house so we could record her side of it.
Yeah.
Why are we?
Hello.
Oh, thank God.
Hi, Christina. It's Travis. Travis McElroy. Travis McElroy. We did that game stream together where we played that post-apocalyptic game. And
you probably stream with a lot of people, though. So, like, if you don't remember him, let's just clean slate it right now. And
that's Travis McElroy. Hi.
There's another Travis. That's not important. We had a question here, and I'm going to repeat it. So now we want to get your opinion on this, because I know that there's an ice cream truck that seemingly lives outside your house. So what's going on here, do you think?
Well, I think if you want to know if this truck is actually up to something, actually, I have the perfect plan for you. And this works in any case if you suspect that an ice cream truck in your neighborhood is maybe not just selling ice cream. Go and order a Sonic the Hedgehog ice cream with bubblegum eyes or a Ninja Turtle ice cream. And how much frost is on top of it to determine if this truck actually sells ice cream.
So what you're suggesting, Christina, is that they have a freezer, and inside that freezer is one Sonic the Hedgehog popsicle with gumball eyes and one Teenage Ninja Turtle popsicle with gumball eyes and nothing else.
There might be an ice cream sandwich or a bomb pop.
One of each item.
Yes, there's one of each. And you got to be careful.
It's an ice cream pop.
You got to be careful, because one of them is also going to be the code word for the drugs that you are also selling today. So if you are going down the list of menu items and it says, like, an It's a Kadoozie is $400, then you can assume that that is some sort of slang for a drug of some sort.
I bet it's pretty frustrating if you have an ice cream truck that's a front for your drug selling business, but nobody knows it's a front for a drug selling business. So they just keep buying ice cream. And you're like, oh, man, nobody bought drugs from me today. I need to work on my branding.
Well, I mean, it's an interesting occupation, but it's a entrepreneurial intent. I don't know what it is. It's funny, though.
Do you know, there? This happens in New York City. There are trucks that drive around, and they have, like, pot leaves all over them and stuff. And, the candy will be called, like, hemp and honey or whatever. But, like, there's no actual marijuana in any of it. It's just implied. But it's completely illegal if it was actual THC in these things. But okay. It just looks like it. And so tourists are like, oh, my God, big city. Yeah. And then they just buy what is essentially regular candy for like $20 an ounce.
So this, the impropriety, the appearance of impropriety here is a feature and not a bug, is what you're saying.
Yes.
And exactly. You know that if you go to this ice cream vendor who is selling in such a shady way, you know that this sits a kadoozy is going to fuck you up, fam. It's not a question about it.
It is actually a kadoozy. Oh, boy.
It is. There's no doubt about it. This one's a kadoozy.
Christina, how do you deal with your children constantly asking you to patronize the ice cream truck that has taken root outside your home? Because that would be, I feel like, a basically constant struggle between my children and I.
Well, I think the best way to interfere with that is the fact that my husband is an ice cream junkie. So there's always ice cream in my house. And it's like, oh, let's go to the ice cream truck. But why would we do that when we've got Good Humor strawberry shortcake bars in the fridge?
Oh,
we've got Oreo ice cream. Do you want a Fat Boy? Like, they do Fat Boys with peanut butter. You can't do that with your hard ice cream you're going to get from the ice cream truck that's been sitting in there for 14 years.
Christina, my wife calls the strawberry Good Humor bars Scooter Crunch bars, and I didn't know if I should divorce her or not. What do you think?
I think that you should say, you know what, hun? You call it whatever you want to, and I'll call it what I want to. You can be wrong, but we can continue on.
We don't talk about them that much, to be fair, actually.
How often does that come up
organically?
To each their own. To each their own. And also, it makes me think about, do you remember those commercials for Six Flags? And they had that old dude, and he had like a bald head and a black tuxedo. And it was like, you can't see me, but I'm doing like this little like jig. But that's what I always think about, because there was like a 90s commercial for Good Humor. And they're like, bada beep, bada boop, bada boop.
Oh, I'm the Good Humor man. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, they would play that in those commercials. And I think the short part of the story is, I really like Good Humor bars, man.
Yeah. Hey, Christina, so just to clarify, talking about an ice cream truck made you think about the Six Flag guy, which then made you think about the Good Humor guy and not the other way around?
No, the good...
I'm confused.
I thought about the... Okay, so I said we have Good Humor bars in the fridge, which then made me think about that song, which then made me think about the Six Flags commercials where the guy is doing the dance, which then brought me back to the Good Humor song.
Well, speaking of...
I'm a Good Humor man, I'm the only man with the ice cream pan. I take my ice cream across the land. To strawberry shortcake, a chocolate eclair.
It's going so hard right now.
Cookie sandwich with a chocolate chip. How about a Sunday cone
that'll
make you flip? I'm a Good Humor man.
I wish to God I could be there when this ad exec pitched this. Like, you know what the kids are so into right now is Scatman. Yeah. They love Scatman John.
The wildest thing about that is it is a parody of Scatman, but not like the syllable count is so far off.
They are jamming two extra, they are doubling the syllables of the term Scatman. It's wild. It's hubris.
It's so strange that someone heard I'm the Scatman and thought, you know what that makes me think of? Good Humor Man. That's wild.
You know what's great about it is that it was like during that area where, not area, but during that era where it was like Alley Cat Strike came out as a DCOM.
There was
like a big boom in like, what are those guys called? The little like, not the tub thumping dudes, but the big band swing kind of like.
Oh, like the Brian Setzer Orchestra.
Big Bad Voodoo Daddies.
Yeah, Big Bad Voodoo Daddy.
Like the Squirrel Nut Zippers.
Every band had the worst names. It was the worst. What, miserable.
It seemed like they drew their names syllable by syllable out of a hopper. Yeah. And it was... Yes, it was quite terrible.
Why couldn't they have a cool name? Like Stained.
Or Puddle of Mud.
Or Puddle of Mud.
Jars of Clay.
Jars of Blur.
Blur. Creed.
Blur's you can't even tell.
You can even take me higher with that name.
I'm pretty sure most of the bands we just mentioned were undercover Christian rock bands.
Sure.
There were a great
subgenre.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Not just rock, not just Christian, undercover Christian rock. You might listen to several of their albums before you figure out.
Gotcha.
Didn't a big Insane Clown Posse story come out where they were talking about...
The most undercover Christian rock band.
They were like, the Juggalos were a Christian rock band all along.
The Juggalos are like, if they were a plant in a criminal organization, but they were under so long, they forgot how to live a clean life. And I'm like, I think did we start as a Christian band or did we just decide what's happening here, guys?
They got departed. That's it.
Yeah. The Juggalos got raptured.
Yep.
It's like the great philosopher once said, 50 told me, go ahead and switch your style up. And if they hate, then let them hate and watch the money pile up.
Yeah, that was from the Bible, I think.
That's also from the Bible.
Yeah.
That 50 he was talking about was Jesus Christ. Sometimes they called him 50 because he took the bread and the fish and he turned it into 50 bread and fish.
Oh, that's cool. Good job, Jesus. That's not enough for everybody. There were hundreds of people.
Not even close. But still, it was more than one. So
yeah, that's true. That is true.
1,000.
So, hey, Christine.
Oh my God, Charles, this is so awkward. But you go ahead and ask your question, and then I'll ask my different question.
Okay. I just wanted to thank Christina for taking time out of her incredibly busy schedule of hosting the Star Wars High Republic web series, the official Star Wars show discussing the Star Wars High Republic series. That it must be so much more fun to do that than to record this show with us. So it means so much to us that you took the time to come on our show to talk about dumb things.
Talking about dumb things, and I like you.
Oh, well, thank you.
We talk about Star Wars sometimes on this show, but people weirdly don't like it.
No, really don't.
We think Star Wars is cool. Spaceships and laser blades and all that shit radical. But I guess we got a lot of just trackers. Jocks. A lot of jocks listening to our show.
You know what you could talk about, though, and just change all the discourse? Because it's one thing that everyone can agree on.
What's that?
Ivan Ooze is one of the greatest villains in all of cinema, and he deserves his flowers.
The courage, the bravery required to come on our show and be a proponent of Ivan Ooze. It took my breath away, Christina. Some people say the audacity of hope.
That's what that is.
Some people say he's a bit much. I prefer Zed. I prefer Goldar, but no.
No. The best part of this entire movie. There's the think of all the things I've missed. The Brady Bunch reunion. Are you kidding me? That is gross. I'm sorry. I have a lot of feelings.
Who do you think is a more iconic movie villain? Ivan Ooze or Raul Julia as M. Bison? In the Street Fighter movie.
Oh, man. Don't make me choose.
Don't make me choose.
I think the reason it popped in my head is I think they're both playing at the same level in, like, just acting choice-wise, the same incredible level.
It's
the
high entire camp. Movie.
Yeah.
It is high camp, and it is a fine art, and I think they are both incredible artists when it comes to the camp, and I refuse to make a choice on this. But I will continue to say Ivan Ooze as a villain had bars.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. I think it's just that now that we're into the new year and it's 2021, I wanted to make sure that I could reference the best line in cinema ever and make sure we get it in before I have to worry about it, which is the day that M. Bison invaded your city is the worst day of your life. For me, it was a Tuesday. It's just the best.
It's very good. It's the best. As long as we're quoting Street Fighter adjacent things, I can't let the opportunity pass me by to quote the interview that somebody did with Jean-Claude Van Damme when it was revealed that he had an affair with Kylie Minogue on the set. And he said, okay, yes, 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 it happened. I was in Thailand. We had an affair. Sweet kiss, beautiful lovemaking. Thanks, John. Thanks, Jean-Claude.
To be fair, I hope Jean-Claude Van Damme says that about me someday.
Sweet kiss, beautiful lovemaking.
Beautiful lovemaking.
Awesome.
All I can say is Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yep. Do you guys know that the bad guy from Raiders, Belloc, was played by the same guy who played Ivan Ooze?
No.
Really?
That's quite a trajectory, huh? You must have had one moment where they were putting on the applique on your face, the blue, the purple tentacles, where you're like, this is where I'm at currently. That's okay. I mean, it's
What's Harrison Ford up to? What's he doing?
Yeah. I bet Harrison is maybe in the Mighty Morphin. Do you think he called Harrison Ford like, hey, Harrison, are you in this Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie too?
I assume you got the offer right alongside me.
Got an opportunity for you. This is a rocket, baby, going all the way to the top.
Harrison, can you put on your helmet? I'm not putting on my helmet. It looks ridiculous. You're the Black Ranger, Harrison, please. I'm not doing it. Where can people watch your program? I guess the internet, right? You get everything on the internet these days.
Yes, you can watch the High Republic show on the Star Wars YouTube or on StarWars.com, and you can check out more information about the High Republic in that little tab about said show. And other than that, you can find me, on Mondays I host a show called Improvised Champions with Mark Meir, who is the voice of Commander Shepard in Mass Effect.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. And there's someone plays through the game Idle Champions. We voice act all the characters, and we also commentate as two of our original characters. So it's really fun.
That's fun.
It's on the CNE Games Twitch.
Cool.
I also highly recommend, if you are subscribed to Dropout, you can watch Dimension 20. And Christina just did a series there on Dimension 20 called Pirates of Leviathan. And when she played Barbarella, it's very, very good.
Brendan, I need to say it for you.
Okay, please.
Her name is Barbarella Sarsaparilla Ganglin, but you can call her Bob.
Gotta watch.
That's really good.
Talented people make me so angry. It must be so stressful to have talent. I can't imagine.
You were in Trolls. You were in Trolls. You were an icon in this house.
They let us talk at the same time, and then they put it through a bunch of computers.
You know how it is, the music industry.
We watched it the other day, and because we watched it, it's like my son's in a trance by it. So like my oldest comes in right at the part where it's the incredibly sad Kelly Clarkson song.
Yeah.
And out comes the tumbleweed.
Oh,
suck! And everyone in my kitchen.
busting up. Suck. Some debate amongst the Trolls community and our community about which one of the three of us that
credited in the books, in the IMDb books to the J-Man, definitely
credited,
if you listen to
my
the voice,
ears.
It's absolutely Griffin.
It's 100% Griffin. Yeah.
No question. But I'm on the poster, so. Hey, Christina, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you
my
being
pleasure.
Here. I think we've really helped this time. This person we've helped.
Yeah, buy that ice cream, man. Buy that ice cream.
Hey, Griff, how about a Yahoo?
Yeah, I have a very fast one here. I think this is going to be just a heads-up call, like which way you're leaning on it. It was sent in by a bunch of people. Thanks, everybody. It's an anonymous Yahoo Answers user who I'm going to call Dumpty Asks.
Oh, challenging.
Do you wish your bath could be the soup? Imagine taking a warm, relaxing bath, and you can drink the savory, fragrant soup as you bathe and dip crackers in it. Now, let's talk about doing it in the Japanese style, because there is a sort of usually you'll shower off, and then you'll get in the bath, right? And the shower gets all the particulate.
The gunk.
Because you don't want to get in the bath and get your gunk all over the bath, and then somebody else gets in the bath later? No. You shower off first. So I would need a pre-soup bath to even consider this, and
you would never. We are all of us made of stardust and gunk. We are made of gunk. If we clean off all the gunk, we'll make more gunk. That's human.
But let me, can I add an element here, which is to say, how big a container before it would be dispersed enough
That's what I'm saying.
That you would be okay. Like, yeah, if you got into a lake of soup and you knew there were no fish or like rocks or anything, it was just you and the soup, is that then dispersed enough? Because I would posit the issue comes down to the twist is, unless you have like a super long spoon, you're still eating the soup from immediately around your body.
Yeah, sure. You would want to get, you know, you would want to dive down deep into the depths, far from where your butt stuff and your pee-pee stuff might accidentally get on it. And your foot stuff and armpit stuff. Like, those are the worst parts.
Your body stuff, Griffin. Just say your human body stuff.
Well, no, they're saying if I spill some soup on my thigh, I'll eat that right off there. That's not a problem. If I spill it on my, I'll spoon it up there. But if I drop soup on my foot or my penis or my butt or my armpits, then that's going in the trash.
Or your hair or your face or your ears.
If I get
shoulders,
soup on my
I think face. Would be okay.
Okay, you've never been eating soup excited and you get soup on your face and you just kind of lick it off?
No. I have a beard, friend. I can't do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Travis really fucking knocked this one out of the park, because the question is, how big a body of soup do you need to be in?
Because I would argue a bathtub is too small. Because, like, at that point, so much of that soup has come in contact with.
In the interest of, we can all agree we're made of gunk.
Yeah.
It's undrinkable. It's like Ralph Nader wrote, undrinkable at any size.
Right.
Okay. But let's pretend in a world where, like, we can divorce ourselves from, like, hygiene.
Yeah.
Right?
What are you asking?
I don't know. You get laminated before you go in. I don't know. But like, let's talk about all other elements of this question, because I feel like, will you enjoy the sensation, you know, of floating in a lake of chunky chicken?
Well, now, hold on. Wait, now that is the other question, Justin, because I would argue, would fight so hard for tomato soup.
I go tomato basil bisque.
As long as I can't see my own body in it, so no broth.
I want no chunks either.
No chunks. I got too many crannies and or nooks in my human body to do chunks.
Yeah.
If I don't have chunks, I'll be hungry after.
Oh, so, Justin, we're not talking about Stacey. I assumed we were in a Fear Factor-esque scenario here and not like, well, this is my life now.
Yeah.
No, but like, what, is somebody going to bring you bread? Like, it doesn't make sense.
Okay,
what you're
but
saying.
Here's me.
If I'm already gonna, okay, listen, okay, shut up. Shut up. If you bathed in soup and an hour later you tell your significant other, feeling a little peckish, they're gonna look at you like, didn't you just fucking bathe in soup?
Okay,
how are you hungry?
Justin, the other side of that is like, if you said, I'm starving, what should we do for dinner? And then you saw a lake of soup and you said, never mind.
Not that. That would be completely bonkers. Here's me though. I'm over here getting showering off my pre soup shower, or maybe it's a burning like in Andromeda Strain where they just kind of blast you with hot light and your
and
outer
also
well
a
of skin
full,
cells
like,
just comes
nair
off.
De-hairing.
De-hairing. You are a perfectly hairless, beautiful, just harp.
You're
seal.
Neo in the Matrix, right? When he first comes out of the pod.
And then I walk over to the kitchen real quick and I do whip myself up a grilled cheese Sammy, cut it in half, one half in each fist, run, jump into the tomato basil bisque lake. And now I'm having a fucking party.
I mean, the ideal is you have a sandwich big enough to float on.
Oh,
that grilled cheese out there. You're floating on the grilled cheese. You're just ripping tiny pieces off, dipping it into the tomato soup lake. That's the ideal. But admittedly, that is not the question, right? I understand that.
If I did enough deep grouting, I would get in a bathtub of tomato basil bisque and I would eat some of it. And I don't think that makes me nasty.
I mean, you can think whatever you want.
Yeah.
There, can't you?
Okay.
Listen, Griffin, we can talk about if it's okay or not, but said it made it a passionate thing, like a thing you wanted to do actively. And that
since we got rid of the chunks, I feel like everybody has kind of lost the passion for this.
Oh.
You know, because it just doesn't make, it's not appetizing.
Okay, Justin, like can I follow you down this path then for a second? When you're talking about these chunks.
Oh, did you want me to list some of my favorites?
No, we'll get there. When you're talking about chunks.
Orzo for this table.
Okay.
Thank you.
Are you talking about a lake with now in the can as exists on Earth size chunks, or that this whole thing is scaled
in
up.
In the can?
No, no, no. Hear me out.
I'm not bathing in cans.
No. You're misunderstanding Travis's question.
What I'm saying
this is freshly made.
Someone has taken soup that now exists on Earth and filled a lake with it. Or rather, we're in a Honey, I Shrunk the Kids scenario where you've shrunk down, the bowl is you size, and all the chunks are gigantic.
Right. Yes.
I don't want that. Nobody wants that.
Okay.
Okay. So you're just talking about small chunks.
No, I'm just talking about open my mouth and let a little orzo slip in, you know?
Yeah.
You're going to munch around this leg.
Well, no, I think Justin's talking about filtering orzo through his teeth like baleen.
Ah.
And I'll actually have to filter out the bay leaves, too, because it's a very fancy soup.
It's very fancy soup. Now, if you could give me a matzo ball, perhaps to float on, that would be ideal.
Now, that would be fucking great, is if there was lake-sized matzo ball soup with one big fucking matzo ball right in the center that you had to sort of climb King of the Hill style. Yeah.
You can't just make a soup wonderland for you to play in. You're, like, inventing this Chili Wonka-style landscape.
Yes.
Where you're just floating, come with me, have a bean.
Yes.
Like, you can't just make it a playground. It's just soup. Yeah. Fuck.
Well, but why not, Justin? Why can't we dance on moonbeams and have big old chunkums?
You're perverting the whole idea of a theoretical question. It would be like saying, like, hey, imagine you could take a bath in soup and also you're right arm becomes incredibly strong and powerful, able to lift anything. It's like, well, yeah, I'd go ahead and do that. But you're not. You're just talking about taking a bath in soup. It's not hard. It's just a question.
I apologize. I thought that was going to be a quick one.
Well, no dice. Thanks for listening to our program. We hope you
I feel like we, by the way, that we didn't, that is unanswered still. I feel like we did not reach
I
a
answered
core.
It. I said yes.
I just feel like what we answered is something more important, which is that we're three different people with different priorities about
Yeah, but I feel like this is the first time in like 547 episodes that the three of us have been so divided on an issue.
Yeah.
That like, I feel like I don't know you, Justin. Yeah.
That's an exciting new chapter to end our show on. Thanks for listening to our program. We hope you've enjoyed yourself. Thanks to Max Fun for having us as a part of their extended podcasting family. Thanks to you for listening. I think we got some new, merch.
Oh yeah, there is. Justin, let me tell you about it because it's very exciting. We've got a really great Boy Car Pin of the Month designed by
it's so
great. Designed by Zachary Sterling that benefits Know Us Without You LA. Know Us Without You is providing food security for undocumented back of house staff and their families in Los Angeles. We've also got the Taste of Luxury stemless wine glass. We've got the Taste of Luxury shirt designed by Kevin Budnick.
So cute.
The Candle Nights video on demand is there from our virtual Candle Night show. It's Pay What You Want, and all proceeds are still going to Harmony House. And hey, if you like books, you can get The Adventure Zone Crystal Kingdom pre-ordered now over at theadventurezonecomic.com. That comes out July 13th. And Everybody Has a Podcast Except You is out now in an ebook, in paper, in audio, all those. Go get it at bit.ly/MacRoy podcast book. But the main thing is our Adventure Zone live virtual show happening February 19th at 9 p.m. It's 9 p.m. Eastern, I should say. It's virtual and interactive. So there will come major points where you, the audience, will get to vote on what the player characters will need to do. And we're going to be playing Honey Heist with special guest Erica Ishii, which is very exciting. Erica is amazing. Tickets are only $10, and you can get them at live.themacroy.family.
We're close on that new theme song.
Oh, so
watch this space. And when I say we, I mean the people who are actually working on the song. But it's nearly finished. It's
we had
ready.
Input in it. Like that's real
I
good.
Guess so yeah,
that's you're good. Doing
do,
good.
Do more.
Do good job.
Maybe more drums or maybe less.
Yeah.
Have you thought about adding in a note here that's like ba ba ba? So here's that final. It was sent in also by the wizard Ben Cant. Thank you, Ben. You crushed it. It's from a Yahoo Answers user, Vic, who asks, if Michelangelo painted the 16 chapel, who painted the first 15 chapels?
Oh, boy.
Hey. Thanks for listening to our podcast. This has been my brother and me. Kiss your dad, square on the lips.
Wait, are we supposed to say our names?
Travis.
Wait. Oh,
Travis.
My name is Justin McElroy. It fell off.
I'm Travis.
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis.
I'm Griffin.
I'm not saying it again.
Okay, that was the show. Hope you had some fun. Talked for an hour and now our job is done. Go back into the world, face the day ahead. Please don't tell our grandparents all the cuss words we said.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.